Now, for all those folks out there that like Westerns, I'm going to share a fact with you or a legend, one or the other. Legend or truth has it that the role of Sheriff Matt Dillon was originally offered to John Wayne, but he turned it down. It seems that John Wayne did not want to be tied down with a weekly series. But if you did watch the first episode of Gunsmoke, it has been shown there on Inspiration Channel. John Wayne, in the prologue to the very first Gunsmoke, comes out and recommends the show and recommends James Arness. Instead of taking that role, John Wayne, he recommended James Arness, and of course James Arness is Matt Dillon, right? You can probably remember his name, his character, quicker than sometimes you can his name. Oh, it's Sheriff Matt Dillon. And it's kind of synonymous. And whenever you hear of Dodge City, you think of Matt Dillon, right? Well, he was the right character for the role, don't you think? In a similar way, but in a much, much, much more significant way, you know, God used exactly the right characters in the Christmas story in the Bible. Exactly the right characters. We're in a series of Christmas messages. This morning, the title of the message, People, with exactly the right people. Sermon number one, in way of review, just briefly, the first sermon we preached in the series is Time. At exactly the right time, that is, Jesus was born. And I shared with you a couple verses. I'm going to read them to you. They're not going to be on the monitor. I'm just going to read it. So listen up. This was sermon number one. At exactly the right time, Jesus was born. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 say, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So aren't you thankful that in all of history, you see, God has always been, but God knew from eternity past the exact right time for Jesus to come to this world. So at exactly the right time, Jesus was born. That was sermon number one. Sermon number two was location, at exactly the right place. You know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and that was prophesied hundreds of years sooner. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, I'm going to read that to you. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You know, Jesus was not only born at exactly the right time, he was born at exactly the right place. And we made the point that he was born in Bethlehem, prophesied hundreds of years earlier that he would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. And Jesus came as the bread of life. Isn't that very appropriate? Exactly the right location. Today, people with exactly the right people. Jesus' birth took place with exactly the right people in the picture, if you will. First of all, we're going to look at several of them, or three of them in particular, three different characters. And we're going to be turning to different passages. And I'm going to read that passage, but the good news is I'm not going to cover every verse in the passage, or we'd be here probably until night at the Nativity at 5 o'clock. But I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to emphasize a few things about it. The first person that was exactly the right person was Mary. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Mary was exactly the right person to be the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, if you would follow along. Again, I'm going to read several verses, but I'm only going to comment on a few of them, okay? It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know, I'm thankful that Mary was exactly the right person to be the mother of Jesus. You know, in Scripture, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says in Isaiah 7:14, again, hundreds of years, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, notice what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You see, Mary was a virgin, had never had relations with anyone. You see, that was prophesied hundreds of years earlier. You see, Mary was exactly the right person in the Christmas story. Secondly, Mary's bloodline is that bloodline of David. You say, is that really that important? You see, Mary is a descendant of David, and Joseph is a descendant of David as well. You say, why is that important? Well, you see, the Savior had to be born in the bloodline of David. Remember the Davidic covenant promised to David that your kingdom will be forever? And then it speaks of Jesus as being on the throne. Actually, in this passage of Scripture, it says in verse 32 of this passage of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You see, Mary was exactly the right person in God's eyes to be the mother of Jesus. Number one, she was a virgin. Number two, she was in the bloodline of David himself. Thirdly, do you know it was prophesied that Jesus would be born of a woman? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we looked at this in Sunday school. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, if you're sleeping to this point, guess what? We're going to look at the very first prophecy in all of Scripture. You know, this is right after the old devil in the form of a serpent came to Adam and Eve and tempted them to sin. And then he curses the ground for Adam's sake and says, you know, women are going to have travail during childbirth. It's going to be a painful experience. And then he turns to the old devil and he says, he curses the old devil. And notice what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says that I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Very first prophecy in Scripture. In other words, Satan, you're going to cause some problems to Jesus. And he did, right? He tempted him in the desert. You know, he was killed, he was murdered upon a cross, crucified upon a cross, the devil. And he says, you're going to bruise the heel of Jesus, but guess what? That seed that is born of a woman is going to bruise your head. I don't know about you, I'd rather bruise my heel than bruise my head sometimes. It's saying that you're going to have the ultimate victory. But if you paid real close attention, it said that Jesus was going to be born of a woman, the seed of a woman. You see, Mary was exactly the person that God created to be the mother of Jesus. First of all, this Mary was a virgin. Second, she was of the bloodline of David. Thirdly, it's prophesied that Jesus would be born of a woman. And number four, underneath of Mary, Mary was a godly young woman. Mary was a godly young woman. Notice in verse 28 of the passage I just read, it says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I don't know hardly how you could read that and not say that Mary had a right relationship with the Lord. You know, you might want to think, well, could Jesus have been born of someone who was not in a right relationship with the Lord? Yeah, God can do anything he wants to do. But let me tell you, I believe that Mary was chosen partly because she was having a close walk with the Lord. Now, there's nothing divine about Mary, okay? I think sometimes Mary don't get the credit in our Bible-believing and preaching churches because we're afraid that we're going to sound a little like the Catholics and elevate her to a point of divinity. Let me say very clearly, Mary was not God. Mary will never be God. Mary was not divine. Mary was a human being. Go ahead, if you will, if you're awake and alert and enthusiastic, take your right hand. You got it? Take it to your left hand. You got it? And pinch just a little bit. You'd say you're human, right? Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was just as human, okay? But I do believe, according to Scripture, when you read that, I don't know how you could say you're highly favored and the Lord's going to bless you and all this to someone who was not in a right relationship with the Lord. And then also, if you notice, you know, the angel lays some pretty heavy news on Mary. Would you agree with that? And she was a young woman. I mean, I've heard some really young estimates of how old she was. She was very young. But did you notice the very last verse that I read? And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. In other words, behold, here I am, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, we have a lot of Christians that have never said that to the Lord. And the Lord hasn't called us to be the mother of Jesus. A lot smaller roles, but have you said to the Lord, Here I am, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. You see, Mary showed obedience. Can I tell you today that Mary was exactly the right person to be the mother of Jesus? She was a virgin. She was of the bloodline of David. The Bible prophesies that Jesus would be born of a woman. She was a godly young woman in a right relationship with the Lord, and she was obedient. The second character we're going to look at, Joseph. Joseph. You turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now, he had his own encounter with an angel. Now, the angel here is not named, but we assume that it very well could have been Gabriel, just like the angel that came to Mary. And here is Joseph, who is betrothed to Mary. They're in that 1 year. It's a little different. We say engagement. It's really a little different. It was a commitment. Engagement today, you say, well, I broke off that engagement so-and-so. And we're like, oh, no big deal. I'm glad you figured that out now. But at that point, it was serious. I mean, like, we will be married. We basically are viewed as married now, but we've not consummated the marriage. And in that time, of course, Mary, word gets out, Mary's pregnant. So automatically, what's Joseph going to think? Mary's been messing around, right? So an angel comes to Joseph. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. And notice this story. It says, Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. That's a quote from Isaiah 7:14 that we read earlier. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, how was Joseph the exact right person to be the stepdad, if you will, of Jesus? Well, as we talked about earlier, if you want to look back in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, this is Joseph's genealogy. It shows clearly that Joseph, again, was of the bloodline of David, and therefore Jesus was also. It says right there, in particular, if I can find it, it says, I can't find my place. Oh, it calls it in verse 20. Remember when the angel showed up, it says, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. So Joseph was exactly the right person, again, in the bloodline of David. Secondly, Joseph was a godly, just man. Did you notice in verse 19? It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Do you know what that mean? That word just mean? Now, we don't use that word a whole lot now, I don't think. So I think a word that we probably can understand a little bit better. Joseph was a righteous man. So you see, God used exactly the right person to be the stepdad, the stepfather, if you will, of Jesus. He was a descendant of David. He was a righteous man. But almost in similar fashion to Mary, guess what? Joseph was also obedient. Obedient. Notice in verse 24, after the angel tells him what happened, that she's with child of the Holy Ghost, notice what Joseph did. Now, he did not have to listen. Are y'all clear on that? You know, it wasn't like the Holy Spirit was back there twisting his arm, or the angel was back there saying, you're going to do this or we're going to destroy you. The angel just presented the situation. And Joseph, with his own little mind and with his own little heart and with his own little being, said, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It says it right there. It says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did, that's a big word in this verse, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. It says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And here's another sign of obedience. And he called his name Jesus, or the Lord saves, is what Jesus means. Now, I hope you can kind of get an idea, a picture. This wasn't like, you know, now we have like little apps maybe on our phone that's supposed to make things really easy. And sometimes there's things that we may find online, easy peasy, you know, something really easy. I think there was even a curriculum for homeschoolers called Easy Peasy. And you know, we like things that are easy. And we can look at this and look at these characters and say, oh, that was an easy decision. No. The decision that they made had a lot of consequences. I mean, can you imagine bringing forth Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, and God Himself from your own womb? Can you believe that? Can you imagine that? And can you imagine how much ridicule that she went through? I mean, because I don't care what probably her lips said Even when she tried to explain what happened, the people were going, uh-huh, oh yeah. Boy, I think I could come up with a better one than that for you being immoral. But she said, I'll do it. I'll be your handmaid. I'll be your servant. Joseph, do you think it was easy for him? Now, most people think Joseph was a bit older than Mary. There's nothing mentioned about him at the crucifixion of Jesus. And that's why Jesus came, not just to live a flowering life and to be productive and to thrive, but he came so that he could die on the cross as the perfect Son of God to pay for our sins. But there's no mention of Joseph. So I say that to say most people think and surmise from that Joseph was probably a bit older than Mary. Can you imagine his heartbreak when he was thinking, now Mary, the one I love, this precious little girl that I love. I mean, just look at her. She's precious to look at. She's beautiful. The one that I'm basically married, betrothed to at this point. She's done went and did something wrong. Can you imagine how much heartbreak was there? But he said, no, I choose to trust God. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. You see, Mary was exactly the right person to be the mother of Jesus. Joseph was exactly the right person to be the stepdad to Jesus. And as you think about other characters in the story, the last character or characters that we're going to look at are the shepherds. The shepherds. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. If you would follow along, we're looking at the shepherds as being the perfect or right people to be in this situation. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Again, Mary was the right person, don't you think? And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I have to tell you that of the characters in the Christmas story, probably my favorite characters are the shepherds. The shepherds. Can you imagine? They were expecting a typical run-of-the-mill night. I mean, just the plain old, same old, ordinary. Here it is after dark. We're watching, keeping an eye on the sheep, and we're gathered around this here campfire. And everything just the same. And they might be telling stories about what happened today. And I had to rescue this little lamb from this. Or, you know, I have two sheep that are sick right now. And I applied this salve to them. And I had to do, just talking. And out of the blue, an angel appears to them. Now, I don't know. That would scare me. And it scared them. As is usual, you know, the angel said, fear not. First words out of the angel's mouth, fear not. And then the angel gives them the message that the Savior's born. And then a whole bunch of angels, a multitude of angels come up there in the sky. And they start start saying glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I mean, these shepherds were awestruck. But you know what? These shepherds were exactly the right people for this Christmas story. You say, why shepherds? And I know I've talked about this before, but I think it's really, really important and critical to understand the role of shepherds. Now, Jesus had a humble birth, but he also, the first people to proclaim that Jesus had come. As far as we know, the first people to see baby Jesus were shepherds, down and outers. And because they were down and outers, the low rung of society, if you will, that tells me that Jesus came for every single one of us. It doesn't matter your income level. It doesn't matter if you're ugly or good looking. It doesn't matter how smart you are. All it matters is Jesus came for everyone. And I think there's a whole lot to be said for the angels proclaiming that message to the shepherds. And the shepherds being the first one to see Jesus. And the shepherds being the first ones to proclaim, guess what? Jesus, the Messiah, is here. You know, these shepherds at Bethlehem, have you thought about this and really pondered much about this? David was a shepherd. David was from Bethlehem. Kind of interesting, isn't it? The shepherds were exactly the right people to see Jesus first. You see, these shepherds, they were humble and they were flexible. You know, in verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. You know, if it's possible that if the Lord had chosen to have the angels go to some palace somewhere and tell the kings about this, that they'd have said, you know what, look at our schedule. Look at our calendar. We just can't do that right now. But the shepherds said, hey, let's go. Let's go. You see, they were exactly the right people at the right time in the Christmas story. They were flexible and willing to do what they needed to do. Secondly, as I look at this, these shepherds were urgent in their actions. You know, they just didn't hem-haul around. You know, of course they could have stayed. Their job was to look after the sheep. And I know there's some speculation about that. We don't know how many shepherds they were. I know some have kind of surmised that they left someone behind or maybe a couple behind. And that's not really the way I see it. I think every single one of them went to see Jesus. You say, it's not there in Scripture. You're absolutely right, but that's my way of thinking, so don't mess it up. I think that every single one of them went to see Jesus. They were humble. They were flexible. And guess what? They were urgent in their actions. It says in verse 16, they came with haste. They were in a hurry. Now, they were a little bit shook up. They were humble. They were flexible. They were urgent. Thirdly, these shepherds were willing witnesses. They were willing witnesses. You know, no one had to twist their arm or make them be a witness. No one had to threaten them in order for them to be a witness. In verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which were told them concerning this child. They were willing witnesses for the Lord. Fourthly, of these shepherds were excited about what the Lord had done. Notice what their message. It says they told him everything that they had seen concerning the child. In verse 20, notice their attitude. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You see, these shepherds, I know the word joy is not used there. I know the word rejoice is not there. But I believe as the shepherds went back to their sheep, have you ever seen somebody that's kind of like on cloud nine? You know, something fantastic has happened and they're just the kind of, kind of, their head's in the cloud. They're just happy as a lark, so to speak. Just, have you ever seen, I think that's the way the shepherds returned. I think they skipped along the way. I think they very well may have clicked their heels together. I can't do that, by the way. If I'd try, it might hurt something. But anyway, I think that they were excited about the good news. Do y'all think they were excited? Now, again, I don't think they had a whole lot to look forward to in society. I don't think they had a whole lot to look forward to in their earthly life. But because Jesus came, they had a lot to get excited about. So they were excited. Also, lastly, of the shepherds, you know what? They knew how to glorify and praise God. As they returned, it says they were glorifying and praising God. So what were they saying? I don't have any idea. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Jesus has come, the Messiah is here. I don't know. But what they said and what they proclaimed, I think, was powerful, don't you? Because they meant it. You see, the shepherds were exactly the right people for this Christmas story. They were humble and they were flexible. Let us now go. They were urgent, it says, and they came with haste. They were willing witnesses. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. These shepherds were excited about what the Lord had done, and these shepherds knew how to glorify and praise God. The message today, people with exactly the right people. You see, Jesus' birth took place with exactly the right people. First of all, Mary. Second, Joseph. And third, the shepherds. You know, just like it's hard for me to imagine Gunsmoke without Matt Dillon, which would be James Arness, it's hard for me to imagine the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, without Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. You know, God knew what people he would use in the Christmas story from eternity past. Did you hear me? From eternity past, God knew exactly who he would use in the Christmas story. And can I tell you that whenever Mary was born, and whenever Joseph was born, and whenever these shepherds were born, can I tell you that God was working in their hearts and in their lives and preparing them for the Christmas story? These people were flexible, they were obedient, and they walked with God. And God used them in big ways. Some 2,000 years later, we're talking about them. You see, God used them. God used them. Again, because they were flexible, they were obedient, and they walked with God. The question I have for you today, are you flexible and obedient to what God wants you to do? As you walk with the Lord, are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do? You say, well, preacher, the Christmas story's over. I can't be part of the Christmas story. Well, maybe if you're lucky, you'll... Blessed. I don't believe in luck. Maybe if you're blessed, you'll be part of the nativity sometime and you can at least pretend. But you know what? God has a plan for your life. Just like he had a plan for Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, he has a plan for your life. And you know what? The same God that from eternity past knew who Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and they'd be part of the Christmas story, God knew you. And when you were born, God started preparing you for what he wanted you to do for him. That's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? The God of the universe that made everything knew you from eternity past and what he would use you to do for him, and then started preparing you from day one. Even we'd say day one is birth, but even in the womb, the Bible talks about God knew us and started working in us and working through us. if God has done his part, have we done our part? What does God want you to do? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I can tell you the first thing that God wants you to do is to come to him today and be saved. To come to him today and tell him in prayer, I'm a sinner, Lord, forgive me. I believe Jesus was exactly who the Bible says he was, the Son of God who died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. I now confess Jesus as my Savior and mean that from your heart. So if you want to fulfill the plan that God has had for you from eternity past and be all that God wants you to be, if you're lost here today, the first step is to be saved. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. I'm going to be somewhere down around front. If you're here today, I know of no better place to be saved than right here. I know of no better time than right now, today, to be saved. You come down and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And you can be saved and fulfill the plan that God has for you. But what about the Christians that are here today? You know, God from eternity past knew all about you. God from eternity past has a plan for your life. Are you fulfilling that plan? God has even prepared you with the things that's happened to you in life for a plan for him. Are you fulfilling that plan? Every one of the characters we looked at, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, they were all ready to do whatever God wanted them to do, even though it was difficult. Now, for some that are Christians here today, it may be a matter of getting your life straightened up with the Lord. You may be doing some things in your life that you know you ought not be doing. If you're truly saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, so you know you shouldn't be doing them if you're doing something you shouldn't. So maybe that's the first step you need to say is, Lord, I want to get right with you. I want to get that out of my life. For some, it's you need to get some things in your life. You need to get some commitment in your life to the Lord. You need to get some Bible reading in your life. You need to get more prayer into your life. You need to get some of this telling people about Jesus into your life. If you want to fulfill the plan that God has for you, maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe y'all need to come to the altar and say, Lord, get this out of my life. Forgive me. Or you may say, Lord, help me to get this in my life. Forgive me for not having it in my life. Or some of you might, God might say, you know what? This is what I want you to do. And you may have known this for a while. God wants you to do this or that. And you've said, don't think so. But again, God knocks again and says, you know what? From eternity past, I prepared you for this. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? You may need to come to the altar as a Christian and say, you know what? God is calling me to do this. Maybe God is calling me to a ministry that I want to start right here in this church for the Lord. I want to be a teacher. God has told me I need to be a teacher, and I'm not teaching. Or God has just told me to get active in my church. Whatever God is calling you to do, why not come to the altar? Listen, answer the door and say, I'm going to do it. Man, what blessing Mary and Joseph and the shepherds had because they opened the door and said, I'll do it. Are you willing to say that to the Lord as a Christian?